we'll say let's begin. So we left off on paragraph Chof Ches, on page Chof Dalid. So remember, again, to reorient ourselves a little bit, so remember, we were speaking about the concept of Kirvas Hashem. We were speaking about the concept of Kirvas Hashem for a while already. But last time we learned, we focused on two fundamental definitions of Kirvas Hashem. So we spoke about, again, that there are two types of closeness. There's Kirva B'Mokom, what we call geographic proximity or closeness, or Kirva B'Nefesh Ad Kedei Hiskashrus Anafshis, or almost like a soulful connection, where two people might not be in close proximity with each other, but ultimately, again, they're connected usually because of relationship. So with that, we pick up with paragraph Chof Ches, and we should just have in mind that our learning tonight should be Le'ili Nishmas, the Kedoshim, from yesterday's attack, and of course, a refuah shlema for all of those who are still hospitalized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give an aliyah to the neshamas, a nechama to the families, and refuah shlema b'karuf. Okay, so Chof Ches. V'hinei la'achar sheborer lanu, shebehagdaras kirva ba'olam azayesh beis habichi afchanos. So now that we've established that closeness could take on one of two forms, aleph, havchanas kirvas makom, geographic proximity or closeness, and beis, kirva mishpacha hamolida kirva nafshis v'eskashros. And number two is a nature of a relationship. Remember, again, the example he gave in the last year was this idea that if I'm related to someone, so by definition, I feel connected to them, even though we might be miles and miles away. So by definition, being related to someone, having connection with someone, familial connection, creates a certain level of closeness. Ata namshich v'nis bonus. Now we have to go on. Now we have to go on and contemplate. Ha'im beis kirvos elu teluyim zebaze. Are these two types of closeness dependent one on the other? So he says, bar hadavar shekirvas makom eina machricha kirva mishpachtis. First of all, it goes without saying that close proximity, by definition, does not create familial closeness. The kirva mishpachtis einena machricha kirvas makom. And familial closeness does not require geographic closeness. So meaning, again, I will say this is obvious. Kolomar, Adam yachal la'amod li'ad Adam acher v'samud elav mamish. I could be standing next to another person, mamish right next to them. Ulam ein shum hakara shu karav elav nafshis klal. But I don't actually feel connected to that individual at all, right? It's my simchol yom that I might be close in proximity to someone, but I don't feel any level of connection to that person. V'av yesrakin, sometimes it's even more than that. Pamim shakirva b'mokom goremes l'richok nafshi. Sometimes the closer you are to people, the more distant it makes you feel from them. Meaning, there are certain people with whom, if I'm with them too much, well, I don't have this particular problem, but other people have this problem. If you spend too much time with them, then lemaisa, again, it actually makes you feel more distant. Meaning that, you know, they say that, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So sometimes prolonged absence makes the heart grow even more fonder, right? Even fonder. Right? The idea ultimately being that there are certain people with whom, if I'm close too much, it has a negative effect. He says, Sha'al yedei zeh, because sometimes when people are too close to each other too much of the time, they fight. V'chein lehefech, kirva mishpachtis hamolida kirva nafshis, o kirva nafshis li'atzma, eina behechrech shevam kirvas makom. Similarly, again, to be close to family members does not by definition require of me to go out and be in close proximity to them. That sometimes, even if I'm far away, that familial closeness is still felt. Pam shakaru biyoser la'adam, aviv o bino o yedid hatov biyoser, heim b'merchak makom gadol ma'od. Sometimes the people who I'm closest to, a father, a son, a friend, even if they're very far away, ultimately they feel very close. Ve'ein ze soser klal, lekirvasam hanafshis. And this in no way, the fact that they are so far away geographically, in no way undermines the sense of closeness. Ve'hare shekirvas makom, einena machricha kirva nafshis. Therefore it turns out that geographic proximity does not automatically engender what we'll call a soulful connection. Ve'kirva nafshis einena machricha klal kirvas makom. And a soulful connection does not require geographic proximity. But there is one fundamental distinction between what we'll call geographic proximity versus emotional closeness. Kirvas makom bishaa sha'anu omrim shu karov hare hakirva mamashis ata. Also, when you have geographic proximity, so when we say that you are geographically close to someone else, it literally means that right now, that closeness can be perceived. Ulam bikirva nafshis, afshe bevadai bisocha nefesh, yesh kirva ben ashnayim. When a person has this internal closeness, this soulful closeness, even though there may be a bond between the two entities, the two individuals, ein behechrech shebecho rega yesh lekravet lekirva zugiloi. It won't necessarily be that the closeness necessarily manifests itself. Meaning, also, what he's pointing out over here is, if you are geographically close to someone, that is objectively observable. I can see, meaning it's clear that I'm close to someone else, physically close to someone else. When you have a soulful connection with someone else, that soulful connection is not necessarily observable. And we'll see why that's important. He says, "Ela yesh zmanim shekirva zu ba'ili degiloi." There are times, however, again, when that closeness is revealed. Kegon bizmane simcha ochas v'shalom lehefech. At times of simcha, or God forbid, times of tzara. She'az ha'adam mishatev atzmo b'matzavim elu imakrovim elav. At times like that, it becomes clear that ultimately, again, a person is clearly close to the other. So remember, what we've just established in this paragraph is the following. First of all, we reinforced those two different forms of closeness, namely geographic proximity and soulful proximity. Number two, we established that they do not require, one is not dependent on the other, meaning you could have a soulful connection even if there's no geographic connection, and vice versa. And we've also established one very important point, which is that when you are physically or geographically close to someone, that is objectively observable. Objectively observable. When you have a soulful connection with someone, that is not necessarily objectively observable. Okay, now with that, chav tes. V'hine la'achar sheburar lanu mahus hakira be'inyanei olam hazeh. Now that we've established ultimately again the nature of closeness in this world, ata nashuv lehisbonin bekirvas Hashem. Ha'im yesh dimoy milsa lekirva hamukeres lanu kan ba'olam hazeh. So now we've established the different forms of human connection and human closeness. Now the shaila is, are even any of these models applicable in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Can you define soulful connection?
So the perfect example would be like with a family member, right? So I love my father. I love my father. Now my father might be thousands of miles away, but I have that, I feel a closeness to him, even though, again, we do not have a geographic closeness.
So there's
It depends how you feel. This is a feeling.
It's a feeling.
Correct. It's correct. It's not a nature of just being related. It's a feeling of connection to someone. And we know if a person has a child that lives far away, so a person feels connected with that child, even though again we have absolutely no geographic proximity. So that's the soulful or emotional connection. Chavtes. V'hine la'acher shebur lanum. So now that we've established what ultimately kirva, what closeness actually means, now we have to try to figure out, does this model apply in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? So he says, mitzad kirvas hamakom, from a perspective of kirvas hamakom, closeness, geographic proximity, kvar huskar le'el she'in karov le'adam kimo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi'cheivon, she'les asra panoy mene. So also, let's analyze this. Do we have geographic proximity to God? Of course, right? Because Ribon Sholom is everywhere and anywhere. So by definition, wherever I am, he is there as well. So number one, I have geographic proximity. Nimtza she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'adam kovazman nimtsoim mamish mamish biyachad. Therefore, it turns out that man and God are literally always together. Ve'inam nifradim klal. We are not separate at all. Mitzad kirva ba'olam hazeh, in davar she'adam karov lo tamid, va'afim karov lo, him einam mamish ba'osam makom. Ma'she'in kein eitzla kodesh baruch hu, ha'adam ba'kodesh baruch hu, krovim tamid zel hazeh, v'ramat ha'krava mibchinas ha'makom, turn the page to chavav, ein la'ach v'reya. He says, furthermore, the geographic proximity that we share with God is even different than anything else, because normally, you know, we spoke about this last time, that one of the laws of matter is that two objects cannot occupy the same space. So that is true in the material world, but yet it's not true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm over here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over here also. We occupy the same exact space. So not only do I have geographic proximity to God, but I have a geographic proximity that is so intense that there's nothing like it in the material world.
But isn't the essence of geographic proximity using the physical senses for it? Meaning what? When you're talking about a relationship with a person, what's the geographic? They live next door. You see them, you bump into them, you interact with them. You know, physically. I'm just saying, like, spiritually, then it's almost similar to having someone, you have your son there, it's also, you feel him also. That feeling is in your heart. I don't know if that...
You're saying good. You're saying, meaning, how can you say there's a physical proximity when I don't perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Physically.
Which is going to be... We're going to get to that. He's going to say that's part of the challenge. What he's trying to set up for us is an intellectual construct. And the intellectual construct is that I have Kirvas Hashem in a physical sense. Meaning, before I get to whether I could perceive it or not, I believe that it's there. Mm-hmm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu occupies every single bit of space. So wherever I am, the Ribono Shel Olam is there as well, which means that wherever I am physically cut off to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll talk about being able to perceive it. Mitzad Kirvas Mishpacha, O Yedidus. So now we've established that there is geographic proximity with God. What about the second type of closeness, which is this, we'll call this emotional or soulful family-like closeness? He says, Mitzad Kirvas Mishpacha, O Yedidus, Mikra Malehu. So the truth is, that's an easy one also. That's a Mefurish Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? Banim Atem La Hashem Elokeichem. The Pasuk says that we are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uksiv, Re'acha v'reya avicha al ta'azov. And the pasuk says, your friend and the friend of your father do not leave. Meaning, so the Torah calls us, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, calls ultimately again us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our friend, the friend of our fathers, and therefore, hare sha'anu banav shal bori v'yedidav re'acha. So we see something amazing. So therefore, it's clear that's what? That the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a familial connection to God, which means that we have that family type of emotional, soulful connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, says in the Chaber Nimtza, Sha'adam karov lebore olam gad mitzad ha-makom, gam mitzad ha-mishpacha, ve-gam mitzad yedidus. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, it turns out that Kirvas Hashem, really, we experience it on both levels. We experience it on the level of geographic proximity, that again, we feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number one. Number two, we experience it on a familial level, that we feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we feel to our family members. So we have both of those types of kirva with God. So therefore, what's the problem? Ela mai, ma chaser bekirva zu. So I'll say, so again, remember, so here's the strange part. So we've just proven on an intellectual level that we have kirva, we have close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on two levels. We are close to God, again, because of geographic proximity, and we are close to God because of an emotional connection. What's the problem? So he says, Elamai, ma chaser bekirva zu, ha'ikar chaser min ha'sefer, kilomar, ba'olam hazeh, adam shekarov b'makom medavar mesuyam, hu margish b'chush shukarov elav. So what's interesting is, what's the problem? The problem we have is like this. In the world, in the physical world, if you are physically close to something, so by definition, you could tell with your senses that you are close to that thing. All right? He says, Adam shekarov mishpacha shel Adam acher, aviv, bino, dod, ben dod, hu margish es hakirva hamishpachtis, hu margish shu ben, hu margish shu av, hu margish shu dod, Adam sheish lo yidid, hu margish sheish lo yidid, v'hanefesh margisha zos heitiv bebarur. So what's amazing is, here's the problem, is that when it comes to our closeness, physical proximity, that's easily observable. When it comes to emotional closeness, that we feel. What's the problem? Ulam, the greatest challenge is, even though we've intellectually established that we are close to God in all these different ways, kirvas makom, kirvas mishpacha, kirvas yedidus, hasheila hagidolihi, haim anu margishim kein, shakodesh baruchu karov lano bechal hakirvos haniskalael. What's that? You know, it's amazing. So the fundamental shaila is not really if. Or is God close to us? Because Baruch Hu is close to us in a geographic fashion and in an emotional, familial-type fashion. The problem we have is that we don't feel it. That's the problem. So we'll say, this is sometimes some of the most challenging things in life, where things that you know to be true, but ultimately, again, you know, I just don't feel it, right? So again, it happens sometimes in the course of different relations, in a marriage, so a spouse might know that the other one, the intellectual knows the other one loves them, but lav dafka, that they actually feel loved. So there's a chilik between what's objectively true and what's emotionally true. So it's objectively true that we are close to God in geographic sense, that we are close to God in emotional and familial sense, but do we actually feel that closeness? Kisha'anu omrim les asar panoi minei, when we say that there is no space absent from God, meaning, or there is no space without God, because Baruch Hu is everywhere, ha'im anu yodim sheles asar panoi minei, do we really know that? O sha'anu margishim b'chush gamar sheles asar panoi minei, v'akadosh Baruch Hu nimtza imanu mamish b'chomakum, do we literally feel that? I mean, we say it, and we believe it, but do we literally feel the presence of God wherever we go? V'im kein, hayinu tzrichim lahargisho kol hazman, mechayven she'akadosh Baruch Hu nimtza imanu kol hazman mamish k'nizkor la'el. So again, so first part is that okay, we all pledge our allegiance to this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, and therefore by definition we go ahead and I know that he's here, I say that he's here, but do I feel it on the next level, on the kirva of the mishpacha of the family? Hakravas mishpacha. Ha'im anu yodim she'anu nikra'im barnu lamakum. Do we know that we are truly children of God? O she'anu chashim zos b'leiv b'bar she'anu barnu shalmakum. Va'av asin alav mursh reshes ukvua ka'avas bein la'av. Bikirvas yedidus re'acha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra re'a shalanu. Ha'im anu yodim she'anu yedidim v'reim shalo. Do we really know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us? Do we really feel that he's our father? Do we really feel that we are his children? O shezo yedidos morgeshes benefesh begiloi, or is this just something that kind of like we express it, but we don't necessarily feel it? So there's a fundamental idea over here. What he's really getting down to over here is drilling down to the whole basic yisod, which is that there are many things that we believe, but just because we believe it doesn't mean we actually feel it. And this is such an incredible yisod. A person could be such a good Jew and such a fine Jew and do all the mitzvahs and learn all of the Torah and do everything they're supposed to be doing, but a person could walk around saying, I believe it, I know it, my, you know, Judaism is a very interesting balance between the heart and the mind, between the intellect and emotion. And depending who you ask, so they'll tell you which one is supposed to be the dominant one. Right, so you know I'm sorry.
The Baal Tanya says the brain. Right?
The Baal Tanya was unique. So the Baal Tanya says the brain, but when he says the brain, he really means the neshama, right? Because the neshama, we say this in the Yiratzah before Tzul, the neshama is in the moach, is in the mind. So there he really says, but you know, so Chassidus in general says that it's emotion. It's emotion that takes the front seat. So more like, you know, like Lita Lithuania, so says much more. It's the intellect. You know, Rav Soloveitchik writes that he never saw his father like with an external display of emotion. He never saw his father, Rav says that when his father went to America, Rav Soloveitchik was invited to become Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, and Rav was going off to university in Berlin, and they said goodbye. The Rav wrote, he said, my father shook my hand. Now, also, so understand, like, you know, in whatever, this must have been the 20s. So understand, like, you know, when somebody was going overseas, it's like, it's not like the pshat, oh, I'll see you next week, I'll be in, you know, I'm going to take the next flight out. Like, that was goodbye for however long. I mean, sometimes it was goodbye forever. But, you know, so the Rav writes, he says that in Brisk, so emotion was weakness. You know, there's an amazing mice about the Netziv. This story that's told that in Valozhin, so one Shavuot in Valozhin, it's actually interesting. So in Valozhin, what they used to do is they would Shavuot night, they would go ahead and they would daven, they would have the Seuda, and then they came back into the Beis Medrash and had like a Chagiga, like a Masiba for Shavuot. They would dance in the middle of all the Rikud on Shavuot. So a non-Jewish postal worker comes into the yeshiva and gives the Netziv telegram. Thank you, a telegram, right? You remember from the Alterheim,
Sure.
And right. So they gave him a telegram, and they had known already that he couldn't open it, so they opened it for him. So the Netziv went ahead. The Netziv opened it up. He looked at it. He put it back in. He put it in his jacket, and he went on to dance. And he went. So, okay, Shavuos went by. Right as they davened Mariv on Shavuos, the Netziv began to sob. So the telegram had told him that his sister, he had one surviving sibling, his sister passed away. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted that story. He says, like, that's Valozhin. That's Valozhin. Valozhin says that the intellect reigns over everything. There is no avelos on Yom Tov. There is no physical manifestation of mourning, and that the intellect has the ability to control everything. So if there is no avelos, then there is no crying, there is no external display, and you keep your emotions in check. So what's amazing about it is, first of all, that's I find amazing, is it's actually possible. Right, which is very important to you. So it actually is possible to keep your emotions in check. You know, people say, I lost control. You lost control because you chose not to exercise control. The fact, if the Netziv could do it, so we could do it also. But this was the Yesod and Brisk. Yesod and Brisk was, the intellect is king, emotions represent weakness. And emotions should only be displayed in very specific situations. The Rav says, actually, I'm sorry? And if you do, don't say it in my name. No. It's not. Again, this is talking
the
about.
Also shows you could read newspaper and
A telegram.
Oh.
That's the takeaway, right? So, because remember, again, there are certain relationships where emotion is supposed to be, like in a marriage. A marriage is an emotional relationship. He's talking, what the Rebbe is describing more in one's Avodas Hashem. So in one's Avodas Hashem, it's the intellect that must be king. And emotion must take a second seat. So it's a different kind of mahalach. You have to understand something. Also, we live now with a Judaism that has a much greater influence on Hasidus. Remember, again, just if you look at the evolution of the Jewish community, after the war, like, Hasidim really had a profound impact on the rebuilding of the Jewish people. You know, the simplest way to see that is, you ever look, like, at the pictures of the guys in the Mir Yeshiva or anywhere else before the war, right? What do they look like before the war in Shanghai? You ever see these pictures? What do they look like?
White suits.
They're clean-shaven, white suits, right? With, like, fedora, the grip. So what happened? When did everything turn black? So the truth is, that really is the influence of Hasidus. It's absolutely the influence of Hasidus. It's the influence on dress, even the way, interestingly enough, we relate to Rosh Yeshiva. So, you know, the Rav speaks about, tells stories about that he heard from his grandfather that in Valozhin, they would, like, Rav Chaim Valozhin would be giving a shir, and the Talmidim would attack him. So they didn't put the Rebbe on, like, the pedestal or anything. So that notion that, like, we almost have, like, a certain Rebbe-like reverence for Rabbanim or for others, that's also a spillover of Hasidus. It's not bad. It's just interesting to see just the different cultural influences. So for us, this notion of intellect being everything sounds strange to us. I'm sorry? Chafetz Chaim is real leader. It's true. Maybe one of the last strongholds. So why are we getting into this now? Oh, because again, the point over here is that what he's driving at here is what we have become. We know what to do intellectually. The shaila is how to bridge the disconnect between what I know to be true intellectually and now somehow beginning to feel that those things are actually true. So let's go a little bit weiter.
How do we explain, I remember you said that if someone does something, or someone does an aveira, right? So what were the different, we had two different ways of saying that it's possible that those, not that Hashem wasn't there, but those are laughs. Am I making this up? Those are laughs in someone's judgment?
A lapse in God awareness.
God awareness.
Yeah, we spoke about this. So the Baal HaTanya brings down by the sort of Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. That what does it mean? I place Kodesh Baruch Hu before me at all times. So the Baal HaTanya says it means that a person is supposed to live life with a God awareness. That I'm always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I sin, the Baal HaTanya says, that only happens because I forget that I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Nice.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Yep. So that again goes with the mind.
Correct. That again will go with the mind. Correct. Yeah. We're going to see the great challenge is taking those things that we know to be intellectually true and then actually beginning to feel them. That's going to be the great challenge. Let's do one more paragraph and then we'll stop for this evening. He says, just do paragraph Lamed. So he says, Nimtza, sha'anu krov ma'akadosh baruch hu b'chol minei sugi akrava. So therefore, it turns out that we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different ways. many different ways, many different forms of closeness. Ulam, anu rak yodim sha'anu krovim. The problem is, we know that we're close. But the actual feeling that we are close, the actual feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in geographic proximity, the actual feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is near us in every moment, in every hour, B'socha Adam, Lachush Sha'anu Banav B'nei Makom Shalmakom Mamish, to feel that we are literally the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lachush Sha'anu Reim Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zema Shechaser. So what we fundamentally lack is not the knowledge, but is the feeling that we are actually close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hare Sha'anu Krovim Ulam Nechseres Hargashas HaKrava Ba'oven Mukhshi. So we know that we are close, we understand that we are close, but what's missing is the actual feeling. Begashmius, hakrava shalano hi mucheshes umurgeshes. Ulam beruchnius, anu yodim shana krovim, ulam lo tamid chashim zos kolkach. So I will say what's interesting to note is when it comes to the material world, if I'm close to something, that closeness is obvious and self-evident. However, in the world of ruchnius, the difficulty is I could be literally occupying the same space as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I may know that, but it doesn't mean that I feel it. So we'll stop over here for this evening. But again, obviously, now what we've let's just establish kind of what we've gained so far. So first of all, what we've established is that we actually each possess Kirvas Elokim on two levels. Geographic proximity, because wherever God is, we are there as well. Or wherever we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there as well. That's number one. Number two, we possess familial or emotional connectivity as well. Because we are Banim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's our Father. By definition, we are joined to Him at the soul. So if that's true, what's interesting is, remember, the way we started this whole thing, and not this whole thing, but remember we started a couple of weeks ago, is that what we're looking to achieve is Kirvas Hashem. But it turns out that we don't have to achieve Kirvas Hashem. Why? Because we're already in the state of Kirvas Hashem. It turns out now that we have to readjust our goals. Our goal is not to become close to God. Our goal is to actually feel that we are close to God. We are close to God.
We know it. You're saying that as a given.
We know it.
We know it.
Meaning, because it's an intellectual reality. If I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu occupies every inch of space, which I do, then wherever I am, He is also. So we have geographic proximity. If I believe, because the Torah tells me that I'm His son and He's my Father, so by definition we have familial connections. Intellectually, I have Kirvas Elokim. So it's interesting. We've changed a little bit. Now the goal is no longer to try to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we are close. The goal is to take what is right now only an intellectual realization and to create an emotional awareness. I'm sorry? Correct. And this, by the way, this is not like a new challenge. This is the age-old challenge of Yiddishkeit, which is this idea that intellectually we know things are true. So the goal is not knowing them. The difficulty is not knowing them. The difficulty is not even believing them. The difficulty is being on the level where I feel it. That's the difficulty. All right. We'll stop over here. Shekoyach.
There's not many things in life that you know and you intellectually feel,